Okay, so I guess I'll go ahead and get started. And if you would, let's be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 11 of 1 Timothy 1. 8 through 11. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. You know, before the time that God opened my eyes, you know, there were some doctors, election. You know, this may not be something that necessarily everyone else, you know, had this problem, but God brought the doctrine of election to my eyes before he opened my eyes. And I hated it. And, you know, I didn't think it was anywhere in the scripture. But when God opened my eyes, I could see election all throughout the scripture. The same thing is true of the law. And I didn't mean for this topic to come up with such force to me when I first started looking at these things. But I now see this all over this book. I want to be clear, it is not my purpose to denigrate the law of God. God most assuredly gave us the law for a specific reason. I hope to show that. Although I hope we all know here that it takes God Almighty's power to believe it. We read here that the law is good. But let's hold on just a minute. It is good if a man use it lawfully. This is not saying if we do not use it lawfully that the law is no more holy, just, and good. That is not what it's saying here. It's saying that it is good to use the law when you are teaching men and women about it, if you use it in your teaching lawfully, meaning you tell them what the purpose of the law is. If you do not do this, then it is not good to use the law. If you tell them it is good for something it is not used for, then it is not good. It is not good for the one teaching it, and it is not good for those hearing it. If a man uses the law to tell us that we can gain righteousness before God, that is not good, is it? God tells us this in Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is a very key point in which we all pass over because of the striking finality of this point. We see that it says here, the end of the law for righteousness. And rightfully so. I'm not trying to diminish what's being said there, but we oftentimes, me being one of the biggest offenders of doing this, but we see the striking comment and we do not give heed to the rest of it. First of all, it is Christ who is the end of the law for righteousness, but it is also true that this is only to everyone that believeth. But this is also true. If a man used the law to tell us that we can live however we please, no matter what God tells us, this is also bad, isn't it? Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If you think you are given by God to absolutely disregard all that Christ did, then you are deceived. The law of God has a purpose, and God gave it for a specific purpose. God has brought so many passages to my eyes once I started looking at these things. I will be upfront with you, though. I still know very little, and I wished I knew more. So let's look at this morning as we read in our text. Let's look at who is the law not made for? Who is the law made for? What does this mean to us? So who is the law not made for? It tells us in our text, 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now this seems quite simple enough of a statement, and it is. But it brings up a question in my mind. Who is righteous? I read in Scripture, there is none righteous. No, not one. If no one is righteous, then the law must be made for all. The answer to this is yes, it is. I know some may think I am being wishy-washy or back and forth because I've said I will take on the accusation of being antinomian when it comes to the law of God, the Ten Commandments. But hold on just a little bit and you will see what I'm talking about. I think most of you know where I'm going. None of us, as we are born in Adam, are righteous before a Christ-holy God. We are told that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. We know this at Sovereign Grace Chapel. There is not a one of us who, being born from Adam, can say we are righteous before God. However, there is one man who can say that. There is one man who is righteous before a Christ-holy God. Jesus Christ the Lord, who we are told is the righteousness of God without the law. Because of this, we know the law is not made for Jesus Christ. Scripture confirms this, and we have all heard this recently. Romans 3, 21 and 22 we read. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is by faith of, and this means it is His, it is who He is, and this is a righteousness that is without the law. Jesus Christ manifests a perfect righteousness as a man. So it is evident the law was not made for Him. And the Scripture tells us that it was not made for him, because the law was not made for a righteous man. So who is the law made for? Continuing on with 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. This is who the law is made for. Very clear right here in this passage. Now, who are these people? The law is for everyone born of Adam. But if you go ask men and women, are you these things? Most are not going to tell you that they are one of these things. But there are some. There are a few people who will admit this to you, and they will not do this by their own power. They will do this by the power of God if He enables them to see what they are. Now, don't get me wrong. All of mankind is these things. They just cannot see it about themselves. What God uses in grace to show them who He is, He has chosen in His Son what they are. God uses in grace this law to, in grace to show them who He is, who He has chosen in His Son what they are. The law. Romans 7, 7 we read, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. When we see the law sent by God in grace, it will show us we are not holy. It will, in fact, show us we are unholy. It will show us we are not righteous. It will, in fact, show us we are unrighteous. It will show us we are not good. In fact, it will show us we are evil, and that continually. Galatians 3:21 we read, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." This tells us here that life, that is righteousness, could not come by the law. It could not come by it then, and it cannot come by it now. If it could have come this way, Paul tells us, then righteousness should have been by the law. The fact is, we are spiritually dead as we are born in Adam. The reason we cannot keep the law is because we are dead in trespasses and in sin. What does it go on to say in Galatians 3, verses 22 and 23? "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." To have life is to have righteousness. To have spiritual life is to have righteousness. That is the indication in the verse we just read. Do we get life from the law? Absolutely not. We are told it cannot give life. The law is weak through the flesh. This flesh cannot do or keep God's holy law, and I will keep saying this. The Scripture is talking about the Ten Commandments. This flesh is dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, there are a lot of people who will agree with what I just said, even those who cast out aspersions about someone being an antinomian. They will say this flesh cannot keep the law. I have more to say on this later. What is the reason we were given the law? What does Scripture tell us why the law was given? Romans 5:20 we read, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Sin was already there because death has passed upon all men, which we read right there in Romans 5. The law entered so that the offense might abound. The law being brought in this flesh just rebels even more. So much so that the offense abounds. What else do we read about the law and what it does? We've already talked about it a minute ago, and it's used by God in grace to his people as a schoolmaster. But what does this schoolmaster do? Romans 3:19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." The law of God gives no man any reason to boast before God. No man will be able to say to God, "I kept your law as you required me to do." If God sends you his law in grace, it will shut your mouth so that you know you have nothing to boast in. You will come to see, and you will only see this by grace, but you will see, "I cannot do this." Romans 3:20 we read, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." We know sin by the law. The law is, in fact, what gives sin its strength. That's what Scripture says. But we have one more thing that I want to mention that the law does. 2 Corinthians 3:9. "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory." The law, the Ten Commandments, ministers. It is the servant of God to minister death to the hearers of it. But what does Paul say in Romans 7:9? "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." The law kills us. That is, it kills his people. If we are dead, and we are, if we have sinned against God and his holy law, and we have, what is the benefit to me of the law? What does this mean to us? I mean, it would seem that we are in a predicament, wouldn't you say? We are in a tight spot and we cannot get out of it ourselves. This is when we read and God opens our eyes to passages such as the following, which gives us a beacon of hope. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin. For what purpose did he do this for us? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God giving us his law, and by us, I mean those who God, he chose in Christ from before the foundation of the world. But those he came and died on that tree for, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But God in grace sends us his law, and it shuts our mouth and it kills us. It does this up to a certain point. What point would that be? Galatians 3:24-26. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith unto Christ. It's up to this certain point, and then you see Christ, then you're no longer under that. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye all are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Once God in his power sends us his gospel and we believe Jesus Christ by that faith, he gives us, then that law is no longer needed by us. It has done what God intended for it to do. But we know that as we are born into this world, we are just like everyone else. We are the children of wrath, even as others. But we also read in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God saved us by his Son, Jesus Christ, being made a curse and sin for us. He then sends us his gospel, whereby his spirit we see Jesus Christ. The law taking us right up to that point as God has appointed. But by his gospel we then see this clearly. Romans 3:21-22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So we know, as we have just went through all of this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but it is made for evil men. We know we are evil as we are born in Adam, and we can do nothing to change that. God's law condemning us before his throne, causing us to bow down our faces in the dust in fear. But God is sending his Son, and him being made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He then sends his gospel, and by faith given of God, and it is the very faith of Christ, which by his faith he manifested he is the righteousness of God without the law. This faith given to us, then, what does God do, as we heard last week? Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How sweet that sounds. I believe God, and he counts that for righteousness. So that means I'm righteous before God, right? The law was not made for a righteous man. Now listen, I know we still have this flesh, and it will never keep God's law. But if we are one of his, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That new creation is perfect and righteous. God does not then now give us his 10 commandments to obey and keep. It is not made for a righteous man. If something is perfect, and when God makes something, it is perfect, and being perfect means it is absolutely righteous, then there is no law made for that man. God's gifts are perfect, and there is no law for the gifts God gives to his people. There is no law for those. If I walk after the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is a promise given by God in his word. So if someone is telling you that once you are saved, that is, once God reveals himself to you in the gospel, then he expects you to start walking after his law, they are not using the law of God lawfully. The scripture is clear what God gave the law for and who he gave the law for. We also know that he has changed us. Although we still have this flesh, we are not ruled by it, by the grace of God. Acts 15:8-10 we read, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" The law is a yoke that we nor they are able to bear. God's people cannot bear it, and those who are not God's people cannot bear it. The problem with those who are not his people is they just don't know about it. They don't know they can't bear it. If we are looking to Christ by faith, and if we have faith, it will be looking to Jesus Christ, then we are not looking at the law at all. It cannot give life at any time. We are to look to him who is our life, and in believing him, God counts that to us as righteousness. Back to our text for just a minute in 1 Timothy 1:5-6. "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling." What is it that Paul says is them swerving and turning aside? Verse 7, "desiring to be teachers of the law." But there is a problem with them doing this. "Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." The law is good. That is, the law is good to teach if you use it lawfully. If you say about the law what God says about the law. It is not made for a righteous man. The flesh is not righteous. This world is not righteous. So the law is made for that. Jesus Christ is righteous, and he is even a righteousness that is without the law. Because of what he did, we are made the righteousness of God in him. We are given faith, and God counts that to us as righteousness when we believe. So we are righteous as well. That is, God's people are righteous, so the law is not made for them. All the law does is shut our mouth, and it kills us. Let us always endeavor to use the law lawfully. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing your servant to put forth words to glorify your name, dear Lord. I pray that you give me the strength to do that, and may it be that you attend your words, dear Lord, by your Spirit, because if someone just hears me, dear Lord, they're hearing nothing. Be with those who are traveling. Be with those who are sick among us, dear Lord. Comfort them. give them improvement, dear Lord, so that they may feel better, dear Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us, dear Lord. You do all things right. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.